The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Dallas Cowboys broadcaster, former Dallas Cowboys player himself. It is Babe Laufenberg. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hey, so we waived Ryan Flannoy. That feels like the biggest news of the day, right?
I guess today, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, just, and I know we're going to get into all the Micah stuff, but, and I know Flannoy could come back, but that felt like kind of a surprising move, did it not?
Well, as you guys know, there are so many moving parts with that 53 and the practice squad and all that, that, you know, you sometimes you move guys or you have to put guys, you know, on waivers that you don't want to do. But again, there are moving parts on that. On that 53, you know, you got guys who aren't going to be healthy. You got to put them on the 53 if they're coming back within a couple, 3 weeks, and on. But I do like Ryan Flannoy, and it'll be interesting to see if he does not get picked up by someone as well. I could see a team looking at the performance that he had in the preseason, albeit he didn't get a lot of balls caught, but that wasn't his fault. Joe Milton wasn't real accurate with him. But we'll see what happens if they can bring him back to the practice.
Babe, the conversation that Jerry had last night frequently turned to, we got to stop the run. We got to stop the run.
Wait a minute. It's not a conversation. It's called a soliloquy.
There you go. And that was a very good monologue last night. For the last couple of years, I've noticed that teams did run at Micah, and they were successful doing that. Is that going to change now that he's not on the team, though? Or are they going to find somebody else that they can run at, or do you feel confident that they can be better at it now?
Well, you're always going to look for somebody who you can run the football on, right? Or throw the ball on. I mean, that's what coaches do during the week, right?
Yeah,
you find a weakness. And I don't know that it was so much a weakness of Micah as much as if you run away from some of those guys, like a Micah, they'll just track you down. You know, many times you see you don't block the end man on the line because he's not going to be able to get to the other side. Well, Micah can get to the other side. He'll chase that ball carrier down, as we've seen. But, you know, it's really disappointing, the whole deal. And not so much, you know, I'm not a Micah fan in terms of, oh, how could they do that to Micah? But
right.
To me, they're just no winners in this thing. You know, Micah didn't look good lying on the table. That's the last impression, you know, a lot of people are going to have them of him, is that last preseason game he's lying down. And I've never seen that in my 40 years of either playing or covering the NFL.
That's,
and the organization doesn't look good. Nobody is looking what the Cowboys did and saying, gosh, you know what? We need to handle our players that way. We always say it's a copycat league, right, in many, many ways. But I don't think anybody is looking at what happened here between the Cowboys organization and Micah and saying, gosh, maybe we need to do it like that.
So, what, I guess, since you said, you know, it doesn't feel like there's any winners here, what would you say to the Cowboys fans who, look,
well, let me take that back. What was the number for Micah?
47 per year.
So there is a winner.
Him and Mulligetta are winners. Absolutely. What would you say to the Cowboys fans going into the season? Because not to be lost in all this, 6 days away from kickoff. What do you say to the Cowboys fans who are like, hey, I don't care about future draft picks and cap space and everything like that. I'm ready for this season. Like, what would be your message to them? Because it's a tough day when you lose a player that good.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't have a message for them, but what we do know is the Cowboys aren't as good today as they were 2 days ago, right? I mean, it's not as good a football team. Now, I don't know where you have that ranked or rated or whatever you want to call it when Micah was here, and if we assume that he was going to get a contract to play, I don't know where you put him in the hierarchy of the NFL, but wherever they were, they're down a couple of notches today.
The leadership in that locker room, we know Dak is the leader, and we've been asking this question. We kind of had a long conversation about it. And we kind of came up with a couple names. But on that defensive side of the ball, who do they look to now?
That's a good question. But as you guys know, you know, when there is a vacuum of leadership, and I don't know if Micah was necessarily a leader.
Mm-hmm.
People have the misnomer that just because you're a great player, you're a leader.
Right,
in any sport, right? And that's not always the case. And as a matter of fact, it was almost a lack of leadership. You can't come in here, and I'm not. This is not throw dirt on Micah. I'm not trying to do that. I said it before. You can't say I'm a leader and then not show up for spring when you've got a new defensive coordinator. You just can't. I'll give you an example of leadership. Sean Lee, when he was playing, he had a place in Santa Barbara. You guys know where Santa Barbara is, right? 30 minutes from Oxnard. He flew back to Dallas so that he could be on the team plane just to fly back to basically where he was. Because he wanted to be a part of, he didn't have to be on the plane, he could have just showed up at Oxnard. He wanted to be a part of that team. And so he flew back, you know, commercially to Dallas so that he could be on the team plane when it left for training camp in Oxnard. That's leadership.
Man.
Yeah, I feel like there are some other guys in that room that are waiting for, that are ready for that. I think so. We'll find it throughout the season.
As you guys know, there's a vacuum in any business, anything. Somebody leaves, somebody fills that void. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't. But somebody's going to fill that void defensively. Somebody step up and say, okay, I got to take charge here.
And I know a lot of times you want to focus on the actual game itself. In advance, have you given up on focusing on the actual game in week 4 against Green Bay, knowing that nobody is going to talk about the X's and O's of it all, and it's all going to be about Micah versus the Cowboys?
You know, I am looking at NBC, right? They're doing that game. They're doing the Philly game. Can they get any luckier? I mean, you've got Cowboys-Philly.
Oh, my gosh.
The Cowboys-Philly Thursday night, as we know, only game in town. It's going to be the highest-rated game of the season, is my prediction. And number two is going to be Micah coming back to Dallas with Green Bay. Here's the thing, too. If I were a tackle, you know how guys used to get sick? If they had the flu. They called it the Nolan Ryan flu.
Yeah.
Nolan was pitching that day. Hey, Skip, I don't know what I got, but I got something. I'm going to sit this one out. I don't know who the tackles will be for the Cowboys. You know, we know we have Steele on the right side. We'll see if it's a Guyton on the left side or whoever it is, but that's when I'd go in that week and say, hey, coach, I don't know what I got, but I'm not feeling so good.
No, don't say that. But it does.
Hold it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't
you? Yeah.
Probably so.
I don't
want to put bad tape out there, Kevin.
You're right.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I definitely get it. I am preemptively dreading every single time Micah makes a play at any point throughout the season, there's going to be all these things on social media calling the Cowboys stupid. Like, even if he has one sack for the season, that sack is going to be plastered across social media.
The most important sack in history.
And be like, the Cowboys are so stupid.
What if game one, week one, and as we know, Philly has the best offensive line in football. I don't think there's any doubt about that. What if the Cowboys come out of week one, they don't get a sack, and Micah's got 4 in his debut for Green Bay?
He has a Charles Haley against Pittsburgh moment. Yeah.
Any segment we attempt to have that's not about that will be shouted down by our listeners. We're like, hey, amazing news is the Rangers have continued to win, and people are going to be like, boo,
no,
shut up. I want to talk about how dumb the Cowboys are. So, yeah, no, you're probably right about that. I know you are on your way to the Star. I know there's things.
He's actually at the Star.
Oh, you already made it? Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah. Can I tell you something?
Yeah,
I do not,
please.
I want to show, every show I ever do, I want to show respect. So I don't want to be that guy in the car where the phone's cutting out. So I got up here early so I can join you boys.
See, and I know he had practice to work with today, so we really appreciate him fitting us in.
Yeah, thank you very, very much on what has been a busy, busy day. We appreciate it. And again, only 6 days away from hearing you on the call with Brad Sham right here on 105 Through the Fan. Thank you very much for the time, good sir.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekend of football.
Yes,
there
sir.
You
yes,
go, sir. Babe Laufenberg right here. Dude, on 105 Through the Fan.
That's getting lost in this mix for sure. And I know at some point we might talk about it, but it definitely is getting lost that college football weekend is here.
And you could make a really, really strong argument this is the biggest week one in the history of college football. Don't forget last week
because of the Micah trade,
week zero. Not because of the Micah trade.
Oh, because of the Texas and Ohio State
I mean,
game.
That is part of it, but because
the Tennessee
six
game.
Of the top, I don't know. Look, I'm sorry, RJ. I don't know if Syracuse versus Tennessee is what's moving the needle.
Jeez.
This weekend. Six of the top 10 teams in the country are playing each other.
Right.
So, yes, this is one of the biggest college football weekends ever. Now, real quick, I was going to throw this out there at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to run through a few more of these Cowboys and Micah questions that matter, if
oh,
that's
for sure,
okay
man.
For you, with you.
I was prepared to talk about Micah all day today.
Okay, well, you know
just
what? Maybe there are questions about
yeah.
that. Do you believe that Jerry Jones knows Micah's name isn't Michael?
I do.
Okay.
Because Steven corrected him last night
okay.
in the middle of the press conference
gotcha.
At one point. I don't know why he does it. Earlier, Cynthia Freeland, she was like, I love the shade. And I was like, oh, do you think he's doing it on purpose? And I think Kevin, he calls Will McClay Will K sometimes. You know, like there are times that he just gets names wrong. And I don't know if it's because he's like, I am showing you that I'm in a power position.
Right.
Or if he's just like, look, man, names are a thing. I'm worried about numbers. And those
okay.
numbers just keep stacking up. So maybe that's the case. But I think he does now. But will he remember it today or tomorrow? I don't know.
A lot of people have used this phrase today and honestly yesterday. Is Micah Parsons a generational player?
This is a great question.
Thank you.
I saw Tony Casillas.
Yes, because Tony Casillas is one of the people who were like, you traded away a generational player to stop the run. I
yes.
respect the hell out of Tony Casillas. I just might not interpret this trade the same as him,
and that
I guess.
Really does come down to how you define a generational player versus a Hall of Famer. Is that,
right?
is that the
yes.
difference there? I think he's going to have all of the statistics to be a Hall of Famer. He might even be with the right team to compete for a title. Like, maybe he doesn't stick around. Maybe he gets moved somewhere else and wins the title somewhere else. And all of those accolades turn into, man, he was a absolute Hall of Famer. But I think the standard that I have for generational player, I put Myles Garrett in that generational type. I don't see many like Myles Garrett. I put Patrick Mahomes in the generational type. You don't see many like that. There are very few, and that's the conversation. We throw that word around pretty liberally.
I agree.
Good gosh, you know what I mean?
All right, politics.
We throw that word around a lot. I mean, I do think that Luka is. But I think that he still has things to do before he can do it. Micah still has the chance to become, like, if his numbers stay the way they are for the rest of his career, yes, we'll look back and go generational talent. But I think, like, we're watching a guy who was very good at pass rush and very ineffective in the run game. And I think there are other players out there that can do both, and those are better talents in that respect. So I just don't think that he's generational, but he could prove me wrong still.
Okay, now, next one. Can Dante Fowler, Sam Williams, Donovan Ezeraku, Marshawn Neal, and James Houston construct a competent season-long pass rush?
They said they can scheme up pressure.
You can. I agree certain extent
and I
with
think
that.
I think what you're saying by that, you have to get home with four. Like that's a simple fact. You got to be able to get home with four. Cowboys still couldn't do it much last year.
Yeah,
they weren't great last year at it. They were terrible at stopping the run last year. Historically bad to start the season for that. And what he says by scheme up You do things where you got the corner blitz, you got a linebacker blitz, you got a couple of different blitzes, and you use those occasionally. You don't do it the entire game. The Dan Quinn defense, that was all four of these guys on the defensive line, maybe three of these other guys are going to – everybody's coming. You know, it was just constant pressure flying at them. But the Cowboys have to figure out – I don't know if those guys can get home with four. So they are going to have to scheme up blitz packages that put the pressure on. And having a guy like Micah allows you to do something special like that whenever you know that that dude's on the field and they got to pay attention to him. But they got to figure out, A, how to get home with the front line, and then who's going to be that other character that can go get it. Because I think James Houston's a guy that can contribute to this thing.
So I really asked, and we'll have to investigate for this more, the drop of me saying that we don't need Micah Parsons now that we have James Houston as a sarcastic thing that I now feel like will come back to haunt me. You know what's really interesting? First of all, your answer is really interesting. But taking a step back, lots of people have lots of thoughts about the generational issue. From the 585, 52 and a half sacks in 4 years when the career record is 200 is a generational start to a career. And I'm not here to dispute that. But
Aaron Donald is generational.
Many, that for sure. And sometimes people say that when you're like, well, let's just wait until their career is over, and then you can get a better gauge.
Aaron Donald was, like, when he got in there, you saw he was a wrecking ball, and then he did everything he needed along the way to accomplish every – like, how many defensive player of the years? He won the Super Bowl. He was a key contributor to the winning the Super Bowl. So, yeah, he's definitely the name that I would drop in there.
And then I see numerous people that say he is not – because Micah doesn't impact the game when it counts, and he won't be generational. From the 4-6-9, one sack in four playoff games, no the hell he is not generational. So this kind of shows the divide.
Eight tackles and one sack, I believe.
Yeah, the tackles don't bother me as much. I need to go seek back out the pressures number. I had it.
He had three pass deflections.
Okay, that actually is good.
Yeah, so.
But the pressures fell out of my brain at some point along the way, so I'll look that back up. But even the fan base is divided about this part. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. We're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. And believe it or not, some of my questions are actually about other things in the NFL besides Micah. Let's see if we get to any of those. We'll see. Next, right here on The Fan.
Who needs Micah? We have James Houston.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.